The Gleam in the North, a sequel to The Flight of the Heron by D.K. Broster, read for you by Peter Forbes. In all that concerns Dr. Archibald Cameron, this story follows historical fact very closely, and its final scenes embody many of his actual words. Chapter 1. The Broken Claymore. 1.
"And then," said the childish voice, "the clans charged. But I expect you do not know what that means, Keithie. It means that they ran very fast against the English, waving their broadswords, and all with their dirks in their left hands under the targe. And they were so fierce and so brave that they broke through the line of English soldiers which were in front, and if there had not been so many more English and they well fed, but we were very hungry and had marched all night."
The little boy paused, leaving the sequel untold, but the pause itself told it. From the pronoun into which he had dropped, from his absorbed, exalted air, he might almost have been himself in the lost battle of which he was telling the story this afternoon, among the Highland heather, to a boy still younger. And in fact he was not relating to those small, inattentive ears any tale of old, unhappy, far-off things, nor of a battle long ago. Little more than 6 years had passed since these children's own father had lain badly wounded on the tragic moorland of Culloden, had indeed died there, but for the devotion of his foster brothers.
"And this," concluded the storyteller, leaving the gap still unbridged, "this is the hilt of a broadsword that was used in the battle."
He uncovered an object of a roundish shape, wrapped in a handkerchief and lying on his knees.
"Cousin Ian Stewart gave it to me last week, and now I will let you see it. You're not listening. You're not even looking, Keithie."
The dark, pansy-like eyes of his little hero were lifted to his.
"Yes, my was," he replied in his clear treble. "But something run so fast down my leg," he added apologetically. "It comed out of the fruch."
Not much of his small 3-year-old person could be seen, so deep planted was it in the aforesaid heather. His brother Donald, on the contrary, was commandingly situated on a fallen pine stem. The sun of late September, striking low through the birch trees, gilded his childish hair, ripe corn which gleamed as no cornfield ever did. He was so well grown and sturdy that he might have passed for 7 or 8, though in reality a good
sample complete. Ready to continue?